restaurant if you want butter beans. Galatians chapter 4, 1, 4 chapter 4, verse 1. Tonight we're going to, I would call this like beef stew. It's just got a little bit of everything in it. The main, I want to get to verse 9. That's the meat of the teaching or preaching tonight is verse 9. But there's so much more good in it. This is coming from our daily reading. And sometimes it's just so good you just got to preach it. Amen? Hey, this morning was funny while you're turning to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. This morning I had a shirt underneath my shirt, and then I put on a jacket because I had a surprise in the shirt. Some of y'all know about that. But then it was like 100 degrees in here. And I was trying to pull off the surprise, and people kept coming up to me saying, "It's hot." And I'm like, "I know it's hot." Anyway, I just thought it was funny because I was the one, I ended up taking the coat off. I said, "I've gone far enough of this thing, I'll pass out." We had a good crowd, but a young lady let us know that her son got saved on the way home from the meeting this morning. Candace's son. And it was pretty neat because I had a Superman shirt on and he was wearing a Captain America shirt. So Superman helped Captain America out. I'm just saying, I thought that was pretty cool. All right, well, if you're not in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 by now, you can come to the altar. Amen. Now, that's true. All right, you good? Now, there's a lot in this, so stay with me. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But it under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now let's stop right there. I was going to try to get to verse 9, but I need to give you all this. Y'all need to hear this good stuff. Hey, so much meat right here. What it was talking about, back in this time, there was a custom. Now, we don't live in these times anymore. The Roman Empire, the Jewish customs of this time, Paul was seeing it firsthand. What he was saying here is when a child was born back in those days, in Roman custom, they would be raised in the house just like the servant. I want y'all to get this. A servant would help with the livestock. A servant might help with the children. A servant might help with the books or finances. A servant might cook. Well, as a child growing up in that home, if you walked into it, you couldn't tell the difference from a child from a servant or a person who worked in the home. Are y'all okay now? What he's saying right here is the father would gauge if the child was old enough and responsible enough to handle being a full-on or a full-grown child to inherit the whole home. And I'll help you right here. This is what he was saying. Listen, he's comparing that to how we were under the law. God's been watching down through the annals of history and time, and we weren't ready, praise God, we weren't ready to handle Jesus because he had to send Jesus to take the place of the law to make us from coming under the law to be sons and not under the law, not servants. My God. That's where you shout because you say, we're no longer servants, we're sons. It was appointed at this time. God said, this is a good time. This is a perfect time that I place Jesus in the womb of Mary and let him be born. That way my children can be my children and not just servants, because the law don't make servants. It doesn't make children. It just makes you somebody who serves the law. I better slow down and say that again and get y'all right. The law doesn't make children. You understand what I'm saying right there? Religion doesn't make you a child of God. Jesus does that. And that's a good thing. Because when Jesus comes in, he changes everything from what you're trying to do. Instead of that, you are a child of God and you're no longer trying to do anything. You're doing it. Because he lives in you. Ain't that good? Now listen, I want y'all to, it gets better, because that's the part I thought would be hard to get across, but I want you to understand it, how that was, we can't see that in how we live today. We wouldn't do that in our homes. So we have to see this. But look at verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. God, that's the Holy Spirit. You got that? Hey, now it gets implanted in you, right? Golly. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is now in your heart. Amen. Well, that's good, right? Listen to this. Now we are crying, Abba, Father. Man, this is good. This is better. Sometimes we read through this and we miss it. This is not Abba, Father. You read it, it's Daddy. It's a way to have an enduring term. Now listen, I call my dad Ronnie, when I need to get his attention and everybody else is around. You understand what I'm saying? If my dad was in a group of 100 men and he was standing in that hallway out there and I needed to get his attention, if I went, Dad, now since I'm loudmouth and I'm with a microphone, he might know it's me and say, what? But if it was a big crowd, say we're in the, you know, I'd have to say Ronnie Shelton, right? He would go, yes. And then I'd say, hey, it's your son. I need to talk with you. Get it? Okay, same difference right here. Before we knew God, we'd say God, Jehovah, right? Jesus. Okay? But when He adopts us and we get in the family, when we were in a setting where it's, where's the word I'm wanting to say? Intimate, yes. Intimate. I don't call, when I'm with my dad, I never call him by his first name. Never. Why would I, right? Why would you call your dad your first name? Ron, it'd be weird. I say dad or daddy, right? Now, if I'm hurt, if I'm broke, if I'm really broken in my past, and when I'm broken, I go to him and I say, Daddy. Y'all, there's some dads in here know what I'm talking about. When you hear that coming from your sons and your daughters, you know there's a serious situation. Daddy. And they usually come and they bury their face, oh Daddy, right? They're either hurt or they need your help. And that's a good thing. What this says is, we have that same Spirit, we cry to God, Abba, Father, Dad. God's so cool that He wouldn't want you to call Him God. He wouldn't want you to call Him Dad. Man, I know that's hard for some of you. That if you don't have a good relationship with your father, or you've never known a good family relationship, that's hard. Because some of y'all could just never get there. Oh, well, why would He want to do that? Because guess what? The same reason, man, who was I riding? I was riding with somebody just the other day. And there is just something. Now, some of you hardcore men, don't try to be all hard. There's something about it. When you have a child, when you have a son or a daughter, when they call you daddy. Oh, men, you wouldn't. I tell you, man, I'd rather somebody, preacher, pastor, director, whatever other list I've been on, daddy, or I told them, husband and dad. Right there, man. That's all I need. I'm serious. There's times when my son, this happened, I don't know, a couple of months ago. We was in what I'd call purgatory. God, I just ruined it by saying that. I can't even say where we was at. We was in a place where me and him had to wait for a long time together. And there was other people there. And we was on the couch. Oh, no. I was at my in-laws. And we're there, and I'm on the couch, and I'm like, man, I'm happy to be there. Love my in-laws. I got in-laws. Amen. But I'm tired. And I want to go home, and I'm not home. And you can't get comfortable in your in-laws' house because you know it's your house. So I'm laying there on the couch and I put my arm over. Now, I'm putting my arm over and I'm just sitting there. And my son lays on the other end of the couch and he puts his arm up and it touches my arm. Now, he's cool. He's 12. He one day he's cool, and then one day he's my normal son. Some day I just don't even recognize him sometimes. Not by his appearance, but the way he acts. Because used to his dad, everything. We get out of the car, as soon as we start to go walk across the parking lot, he stuck his hand in my hand. The day that stopped, I was a sad guy. But he reached over and he put his hand in my hand, and we laid there for about 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I was at first, I was just laying there, and then I thought, my God, I'm about to have a fit. This is the best thing that ever happened. And then he got, you know, I guess something happened. He realized, what am I doing? You know? I don't even care. I didn't even know that. I didn't care about that part. The only part I did care about is he was holding my hand. And if you think that's weird, it's weird. But praise God, that's my son. And just for a little bit, I love that. I love that. And listen, God, that's what God wants from us. A lot of times we think God wants all this other stuff, and what he really wants is our heart. Man, if we'd get so knit in with God and so tied into God, you wouldn't have to worry about what to do. You'd be so close to him, you'd know what to do. Amen? You'd hear it. You'd hear it in his heart. Before we move on out of this, I want to get this spirit of it too. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son, and you cry, Abba, Father. Right? Go back up to verse 5. That's not where I want to be. Verse 5, at the very end, it says, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Man, I don't ever want to skip over that. Because adoption's cool. It's cool. Because adoption, you know, you can write off your kids that you birthed, but you can't write off adopted kids. It's in the paperwork. Amen? Amen. You sign it. You're like, hey, you're responsible. But what's even cooler than that is, a lot of times people adopt. Now, I'm not talking about in every case. I'm talking about in God's case. God takes the worst of the worst. I mean, we might come up with some specs. Well, I don't want this, or I do want that, or I'll take this, or I won't take that. God says, golly, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. I'll take them. I love them. Man, I'll adopt them. He'll adopt everybody. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a whosoever adoption, isn't it? Golly, that's good. And then the rest of the time, the devil keeps getting on our hearts and minds and telling us we're not good enough to be God's children. Praise God, we wasn't good enough when he adopted us. I tell the devil, I'll take you to my ear and say, you're not good enough. I say, I know, who cares? I'm not trying to be good enough anymore. Praise God, I'm good because I'm adopted. I'm a son because of what Jesus did, not what I've done. So that, man, when you get to that place in ministry and love with God, praise God, you stop trying to please people and worried about your status. Well, did I do good? Did I do bad? Praise God, I'm saved. There's going to be times I fall flat on my face. You know what I've learned to do in those cases? Pray and get up. In that order. Lord, help me to get back up. When I get back up, I'm going to go forward. Amen. Well, worst terms in the Bible is backsliding. I ain't sliding backwards. I ain't going nowhere. I made up my mind. I'd rather die serving Jesus than going back. Amen. Devil comes around every once in a while. Look at this. Check this out. I've done that already. Well, hey, I ain't going to preach it before it's time. Y'all ready? There's a word in here for that. Almost preach it before I got to the verse. Verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God, there's so much meat in that, it ain't even worth. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. Let me read that to you again where you'll get it real good. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Man, some of y'all need to let that seep into you. When the devil tries to tempt you with stuff, you got to remind yourself, dude, there ain't nothing I ain't. I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. Everything you got is garbage compared to that. I mean, if you're going to try to promise me something, if you're trying to promise me, I'm already got good. I don't want to trade good for bad. Oh, that's just good. Howbeit then, verse 8, howbeit then when you know God, you did... Wait a minute, go back. Howbeit then when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are not gods. What he's saying is, before this, you served sin. You served your life like you should serve God. It's an easy situation. It's an easy way to determine whether you're saved. The Bible says examine yourself whether you've been in faith or not. It's very easy. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? What are you serving? If you're serving God and your fellow man, amen, God, man, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, amen, love others as yourself. If you are trying to do that, praise God, more than likely you are saved. Because otherwise, the God that you would be worshiping is not the God in heaven, it's the God of you. I want y'all to know that. There ain't really no such thing as devil worship. Devil worship is you worship. False God worship is you. No matter what God you get, if you pick another God other than God, the only really God on the throne is you. Because that God's going to tell you you can do whatever you want to do. Oh God, that hurt. That's good, isn't it? Then love others as yourself. Praise God. Yeah, I ain't got to worry about sinning against my neighbor if I love God. Because I'm not going to steal from him. I'm not going to take his wife or girlfriend. Praise God, I'm not going to do any of that stuff because I love him like I love myself. I'm going to take care of him. Amen? Y'all good? Can I preach right there just for a second? When I say love, every time I say it in the church setting, I want to clarify. If you love others like you love yourself, you would want the truth too, by the way. Amen? I do. If I've got something wrong with me, I don't want everybody to walk by and go, man, you look great. Looking good. Your fly's open, and I ain't going to tell you. Amen? Golly, did I say that out loud? I did, didn't I? You just stand there talking to everybody, and everybody, golly. Right? A good friend will go like this. Hey, come here, man. Let me talk. Man, I love you. God, let's walk right over. Hey, man, guess what? Hey, your barn door's open. If you ain't in the South, you don't know what that means, but that's what you'd say. You got it? That's as sweet as I can make it, right? That's what kind of friend. I don't want somebody to come up to me all the time, oh, everything good. If your world is chaos, if your life's upside down, and they won't have enough love for you to come and say, look, I can see some chaos. Why don't we pray? Is there anything I can do to help? Man, where can I stand in the gap for you? Where can I make up a hedge with you? If you don't know what I'm talking about making up a hedge, praise God. Sometimes the children of Israel get in trouble. God was looking for somebody to make up a hedge. He needed somebody else to pray for the people who wasn't right. Too many times we look and we like to boast about the people who ain't doing right to make ourselves feel better instead of getting in the hedge and praying a hedge up or making a gap between them and us and God. Whew. That's pretty good, man. I love that stuff. All right, so before we got saved, we did service unto this world. It's easy for me. I know who I'm serving. I'm serving me. I'm serving my needs. I didn't give a flip about nobody else. Somebody said, how do you know you passed from life and death? Because you love the brethren. Yeah. You'll know that you passed from life unto death because you love the brethren. I care. Amen. I genuinely do. Used to before I got saved. Somebody said, what's going on? I'm like, God, I don't care. Hey, man, I got enough of my problems of my own. Now it's, hey, I love the brethren. Amen. All right, verse 9, y'all ready to get in while we came to preach? Some of y'all are like, man, we've been preaching. Well, hang on, sister and brother. We're going to go a little further. Verse 9. But now, underline that. If you're one of them radicals, underline that. But now. I love Paul's writing because he makes salvation and relationship with God. He tells you when it's going on. Right now. Amen? But now, after that ye have known God. Oh, I love this. Paul's, he's a lot like me. I ain't going to say, I'm like, wait, he's a lot. Have you ever got an idea and then an idea switches? Like real quick? Well, okay, everybody else ain't ADHD, but listen. But now, after that you have known God, or, ooh, good? He had a thought right in the midst when he was reading it. He had a thought. He said, wait a minute, no, that ain't right. He said, or rather, ain't that cool? I mean, Paul switches his thought right up. I mean, he said it right there. He goes, After that you have known God, are known of God. God's so good. Can I give y'all an example? Do y'all remember a guy named Zacchaeus? Do y'all remember him? Zacchaeus is one of the coolest characters in the Bible, right? I think we can identify with Zacchaeus more than anybody else in the Bible who met Jesus and got touched by Jesus. Do you know why? Because he got saved, he got sanctified, and he really didn't have nothing wrong with him, except he had tried a lot of stuff in life and found that it didn't satisfy. Ain't that cool? See, a lot of people, there was blind people, there was lame people, there were hurting people, there were lepers, there were all kinds of people, right? But Zacchaeus, the only thing, he was rich, he was chief, he was rich, right? And he was miserable. Yeah, he's short. That old short Zacchaeus, he can't get over that. He can't get over it. Never mind, sorry. But he made a decision. Jesus was coming by, and he goes, I can't see him. I can stay where I'm at, and he might pass by, and I might not see him. I know that. I don't want to climb a tree. So he goes and climbs the tree, and he's looking for Jesus, and Jesus sees him. And everybody says, Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree and he's seen Jesus. No, I think it like this. He's seen Jesus, but Jesus seen him. Amen? And that's what Paul was saying. We think sometimes that we initiated the relationship with God. We did not initiate the relationship with God. God initiated the relationship with us. All men have to be drawn to Christ Jesus by God. That's why you just can't get saved anytime you want to. You got to get saved when God's drawing you and pulling you. It's important, amen? You don't want to keep rejecting God. And I'm not going to say that, but I'm just telling you right now that that's important. You get into a place, you think Zacchaeus wanted to get in that tree because he thought God was coming. He got in that tree because God had already initiated in his heart that you need me. I love that. This is so good, man. I love when I get into something like that and I see other characters. Amen? That's like, can I go one step further with that and help you understand it? Is our altars. Have you ever wanted to come to the altar so bad? Well, the reason you want to come to the altar so bad is you want to see God. But the reason you're coming to the altar is because God dealt with your heart back there in the seat that brought you to the altar. Not only where you could see God, but God can see into your life. Amen? Woo! You say, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to pour my heart out to God. But God's already dealt with your heart in the pew, probably before you even got to church. And when you got up here, he can see you clearly and work on you more clearly. God, I love God. He's cool. Because he loved me before I loved him. He died for me before I'd done anything for him. He loved me while I was yet an enemy of his. I mean, while I was yet an enemy. I can go back in my unsaved life and remember things I said that were so ignorant that if I was God, that I wouldn't have forgiven me. Some of y'all, do y'all know what I'm saying right there? I said ignorant things. Like, well, God's the same as any other God. Wrong. I can just see him on the throne. God, you don't know. I think God's got a sense of humor, don't you? No, I'm serious. I think God's got a sense of humor. I think every time when I said something dumb, I bet God was up there going, God, you don't even know it. I'm gonna change your whole life. You think you know everything. You know nothing. He said, here in about 10 years, I'm going to turn your life upside down, and you'll proclaim my name everywhere, and there won't be a name above my name. And before that, I'll take you to your feet. I'll take you to your belly. I'll take you to your face. And I'll make you profess my name before everybody. Golly, God's cool, ain't he? When we think, oh, well, I'll just do it. When we're ignorant and saying stuff, God's going, I remember Paul. Paul's like, I'm going to kill all them Christians. No, you're not. You ain't even going to make it to Damascus. He went in there and he demanded them letters. Give me them letters. He's like, get you some letters, son. Come on with them. You can have all the letters you want. I'll show you. I can't wait to get to heaven and find out where them letters ended up. I wonder if somebody like was doing community service and picked them up. Some Saul of Tarsus had doggone He had the right to kill Jews. Just didn't need them. Right? Because he don't say what happened to him. He just fell flat on his face. He got arrested. Bad boys, bad boys. What you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? I mean, that joker. Paul said it the rest of his life. He said, I got arrested. Amen. When you got saved, did you get arrested? Yes. I straight up got arrested. Dude, God put me on my face. Handcuffed me. Read me my rights. Amen. Praise God, but I still don't want to go free. The prison door opened. Handcuffs came off. He goes, do whatever you want to do. I'm just still a, Paul wrote it up to him. I'm still a prisoner here. I'm still a slave. I'm a bond servant. Amen? I was a bond servant. You can go free. And he said, no, God, I don't want to go free. I've been free. I want to be yours. Amen. That's right. Right there. Y'all are right on that. Amen. Don't y'all love Sunday night? Golly. I love this stuff. I couldn't wait to get back here tonight. I was amped up after this morning service, and then I got home and Scott sent me a message. Well, man, this morning's great. I said, well, I can't wait till tonight. Now let's get on into this. I want y'all to see it. Let's go back and read the whole verse and we'll keep going. But now after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage? How awesome. Man, this is a good perspective. If you know somebody who struggles with sin, take them to this place. Take them to this place. Why? Because it describes our old lifestyles very good, very perfectly. Beggarly elements. He goes, God, you were a beggar. Remember, the devil, when he first got you hooked to do whatever sin it was, you were in control for about a minute. After that, you had to beg for it every single time. You were a slave to it every single time. What Paul's saying right here is if you want to go back into slavery, if you want to go back into bondage, then you would have to go back to that, and that's weak. Golly, this is just good. It's good to me because sometimes I need to be reminded. When the devil comes, see, I hate to tell you this, but the devil is a good liar. He is a liar, but he is a good one. He can sell you on some stuff. He can have you thinking it's right. The Bible says he can appear as an angel of light. That's why I don't worship angels. I love them, but I don't worship them. Amen? I have some people, I love angels. Angels are there. Yeah, they're good, but don't be mistaken. Go by the Word of God. Because if too many angels appear to you, they might tell you something that says, well, the Word of God ain't no good no more. Let me give you a new prophecy. That's not an angel of light. Amen. Oh, God, I'm preaching now. But I like this. Paul says, if you want to get hooked back up into that beggarly lifestyle, if you want to be back in bondage, praise God, go back to the host. Otherwise, you stay with me. And you're free. You got power in me. You got power in Jesus. You got power with God. If you go back to anything else, you're a beggar. You're in bondage. You're in slavery. Man, I love that because I have to remind myself all the time because the devil will show me something and I'll look at it and I'll say, man, that looks good. Yeah, it's not good. That's weak. Man, that's beggarly. God, that'll make you beg again. That'll make you just, look at this. Beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage. That's going to lock me down. See, every time the devil brings something in your life, it locks you up. Here's how it starts. You're free. Oh, this is so good. Remember when Adam and Eve were at the tree in the garden? The devil was standing there talking to them. He said, this will make you, if it's one to make one wise, it'll make you like gods. Wow. Man, that's awesome. That promise was, I'm going to know things just like God says. But the problem was, they were already knowing things. They were already like gods. I'll create them in our image. I mean, that's why the devil hates you so much today, because you look like Jesus. Okay. Jesus is the expressed image of God. He's what God looks like when he's in man form. Is that good? Okay, so when God made a man out of dirt, he said, let us make him in our image, a triune being. Amen? Body, soul, and spirit. Because we'll make him just like us. And when we make him, we'll make him look like Jesus. So while the devil looks at you, that's why he don't ever look at a cute little girl or a cute little boy or a man or woman and say, God, I'd like to take care of that one. No, he looks at all of them and hates them because he hates Jesus. Amen. And the only one he can take his anger out on or his frustration or his rage out on is us. Praise God. And so what he does, he tries to get you hooked up in sin that he can keep you in bondage. That way, if you ever do get free through Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to go back to that status again, ever. You can look at it for what it is. You know, you're trying to put me back in the bonds. I ain't going back there. I ain't going to be a slave. I'd rather die free. Amen? I'd rather die free. And we'll end right here dying free. And I know I'm going to give you all a real grim one, but there's a whole lot better ones than this, but I'm going to give you a grim one, okay? Some one that doesn't look great for us, but it looks great in eternity. There was a rich man and a man named Lazarus. Y'all remember these two? I think it's Luke 16 somewhere in there. All right, you see this, you see him, his whole life existence of what we know of it is he laid outside the rich man's gate and he begged and the dogs licked his sores, remember? And he desired to eat the crumbs of the rich man's table. Now this is a grim one. This is as low as you can go, apparently, right? Pretty low, right? The rich man fared sumptuously, it said he fared sumptuously every single day. Man, this is the craziest story in the Bible because they both died on the same day. Wow! Could you imagine that? Both of them just kicked the bucket on the same day. Boom! Into eternity. And it was starkly different from that moment on. Amen? One was taken and put into hell. The other one was put in right there, right? He was free standing there, right? And he's looking at the man. There's a great gulf separating them. And he looks at him, right? Oh, I like this right here. Y'all like this? I like this very much. Because guess what? Here they are. In eternity, things have changed. One's begging. One has peace. One has everything. One has nothing. That's it. That's it. If you have freedom in Jesus Christ, your life can look like terrible. If you don't have Jesus, your life could look wonderful. I mean, you could sit there and look at it and go, man, this looks great. This guy's got everything. This lady's got everything. Have nothing. This one over here, on the other hand, golly, he's laying outside the rich man's gate. He's begging. He's got sores. Dogs are licking. You know what he begged that guy to do? Send him back. Will you send him back? Where? Send him back to my five brothers. I've got five brothers. Will you send him back to them? Tell them about this place. I think the greatest evangelist that would ever live today would be somebody who could get out of hell for 5 minutes. I hear this weird thing all the time, and I've heard it in church realm. You don't take everything here in church realm, you know, 100%, but I heard it in church realm starting back 12 years ago. They'd say stuff like this to me. If my grandmother come back, she'd be real upset with what y'all are doing at the church. That's okay. I've heard that one. Now, we wouldn't do anything bad. If my grandfather who founded this, if they come back, they'd really be upset. You know what I always tell them? If anybody could come back from eternity, they'd tell you to focus on one thing only, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They wouldn't tell you anything about what you're doing. They wouldn't care about the what. They'd say, the building, what? Clothes, what? Music, what? They'd say, listen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Amen. And you better tell somebody to figure it out. Amen. Amen? That's all they'd say. Let's all stand. Hopefully, this has been a blessing to you tonight. They'll come get a song. If you want to do anything, if you want to come and talk to the Lord, these altars are open for you to pray and to seek the Lord.